Okay, Chevra, we are up to probably our last shiur on the Igeres Hagra. Hopefully, Bezer Hashem, we're going to be able to finish the letter today. And we are up to the paragraph that starts, V'ikr hageder bibedidus. V'ikr hageder bibedidus. Bibedidus is to sit in solitude. If, Tali, I think you're on the Art Scroll Igeres Hagra, that is, it's on page 28. In the front, they have just the letter without any commentary, just the translation. That's page 28. And if you want to see the translation, the elucidation or the explanations, I think that starts on page 135. Yeah. The Ikar Hageder Bivadidus, says the Gra. Again, this letter is being written to his wife, and his mother as well. And we'll see also he's going to address about his children, to his children, and also to his son-in-law. So here we go. V'ikr ha-geder b'bedidus. What is the geder, the definition of bedidus, or the parameters of bedidus? Badod is badod yeshev michutz l'machaneh. We have a metzora. He has to sit badod in solitude, in isolation, in quarantine, whatever lashon you want to use in 2021. Shlo teitzei chas v'shalom mipesach beischa chutza. This is something that the Vilna Gaon has already mentioned. She shouldn't leave the house. The street is a very bad influence. Stay home. And then the Gra says what's even, I think, for us, even a bigger chiddush. V'af b'beisach neses tikatzer ma'od v'teitzei. Even to go to shul, you should be makatzer how long you stay, and you should run out right after shul. You know, don't stay for the kiddush or whatever it is. We'll see. We'll see how this is nogeh to us. But this is again what the Gra is telling his wife and his mother. V'yoser tov, says the Gra, it's even better. V'yoser tov lehispalel babayis, says the Gra, better for the women to daven at home. Ki bebeis hakneses e efsher lehinotzel mikina v'lishmoa dvarim betelim v'loshin hara. You're going to go to shul. You're going to see how all the other women dress. You're going to see, oh, she has the new style. She has the new, whatever it is, she has the name brand. Oh, look at her shoes. And you're going to get jealous. You're going to get jealous of what other people, the way other people dress. And that's not a good midah. Kina is a terrible midah. Few exceptions, but in general, kina is a terrible midah. Certainly kina about what other people are wearing. Not a good thing. People sit around and schmooze it up about things that are irrelevant to Avodas Hashem and things we don't need to be listening to be talking about. V'lashon hara, and certainly if it comes to lashon hara, and you're going to get punished for that. So better to stay home. Even if you listen to the lashon hara and you're silent, that also is an avera, just to listen to the lashon hara. The kol shekein b'shabbos yontif, and certainly Shabbos and yontif. Shemis asvin ledaber yoser tov, shemis asvin ledaber, that we gather to speak. Yoser tov shalot tispal klal. Better that you not go. I assume he doesn't mean better not to daven at all. I assume he means better not to go to shul at all. Okay, so just a little bit to elaborate a little bit. So we see that according to the Vilna Gaon, he's really telling his wife, better not to go to shul, because in shul you're gonna schmooze with everybody. You don't know where the schmooze is gonna lead, and you'll be jealous of the way they dress. They bring down that in the Gra shul there was not even a women's section. That was the design of the shul. Lamaisa, what about Bizman Azeh? So they quote here, I think it's in the Art Scroll in the elucidation, that Reb Chaim Kanievsky says Bizman Azeh, women go out anyway. You know, the Gra was talking about you live in the city of Vilna, and you stay home all day. So even though shul, there's a maila to going to shul, you hear Kriyas HaTorah, you have a minyan. But still, you know, better to always stay home. But says Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Bizman Hazeh, she's a nurse, she's an accountant, she's a lawyer, she's a doctor, she's a mora, she's going out. She's going out into the world, she's talking to people. Yeah, we have to watch what we say, we have to be careful. But that doesn't, you know, for the one time to stay home, when you're supposed to go to shul, you know, if you're going out anyway 6 days a week, so then on Shabbos, go to shul. Yeah, be careful about what you say. But Bizman said that women are out and about anyway. Shul is a good thing. Lamaisa, I don't know. I saw it with my own eyes, and it was Yadua, but I saw it with my own eyes, that I once went to meet with Rav Chaim Kanievsky. I got in, somebody got me in, right after his Yidavin's Vasikin at the Letterman Shul. So his wife, and Davin's Mincha, Revinson Kanievsky, went to shul. She always went to shul. It was down the block. I don't think anybody was schmoozing with her about anything. You know, if anything, they were asking her for brachas. But Ma'isim B'chol Yom, she went to shul. And like her husband said, Lamaisa, I think Lamaisa, you know, you have to feel it out. But there's a big mila to davening in shul. A shul is a makom, tefila, you know, a living room. Again, it depends on what a person's responsibilities are. If your family's counting on you for, you know, to set up the suda or to prepare the suda, whatever it is, or you have little children, so obviously that's a different story. But somebody who's just around, and the question is, should they just daven on their living room couch, or should they go to shul? I think it's a big maila to go to shul. You get to hear Kriya Satorah. Maybe not chayv to hear Kriya Satorah, but there's still a maila. There's a maila to hear the Parshat Shavua. There's a maila to the Rav, you know, hopefully the Rav gives a good drasha that makes an impact. The daven b'tzibur, tefillah b'tzibur is a very chashev a thing. So I think b'zman hazeh that we're all out and about. I think it's very roy that and I try with my own girls. I try to get them to go to shul unless they're going to be helping out at home. Otherwise, why shouldn't they be going to shul? Okay, says the Gra Vayter, and the Gra talks about the next nakuda is v'tishmar shel teilech b'sakvaros klal klal. The Gra, and there are different opinions about this, but the Gra felt that women should not be going to kvarim, not be going to graves, not be going to cemeteries. There are minhagim about a woman when she's expecting if she should go, and the like. Not talking about somebody who's married to a kohen, that's a separate shaila, but just in general, that it might not be. There are those who refrain from going certain places and they're expecting, but the Gra, I think, is saying it in general, not to go. There's a ruach hatumah because obviously it's people who passed away, and there are those who b'chlal are knowing not to go to graves, and obviously there are those who go to kvarim all the time. There are those who have a minug, you know, before Yom Noraim to go, or on yard site to go visit the kever. But he seems to be saying, the Gra seems to be saying that the women shouldn't go klal u'klal. Pretty clear. V'chalat tzaros v'avonos boim mizeh. And then he says, v'chalat tzaros v'avonos, all tzaros and all averos come from this, from going to the graves, okay? He quotes a maisi here, that the Gra went with his brother on his mother's yard site, where they went to his mother's kever. And afterwards, the Gra said, you know, mommy was so happy. I don't know, did you see? Mommy was so happy that she saw us there, that we came. And his brother was, like, blown away, like, you saw mommy? And like, we went to her kever. There was a big stone, you know. And he said, mommy was so happy. But then he said it was very difficult. And he said, well, why is it difficult? He said, for mommy it was good, but for me it was difficult. There's tumma in the Beis HaKvaros. And it's a hard thing. So the Gra was strong about not going in general to Beis HaKvaros. V'gam bitcha yoser tov shlo telech Beis HaKnesses ki shomer v'gadon tov v'miskanes v'misaperes v'bayis v'mitov zeh boyin l'loshen horo shar dvarim. And then he says to his wife, he says, by the way, it seems a little bit out of order maybe, but you shouldn't send the girls either. Again, this was the Gra. That his daughters, he said, they shouldn't go to shul because they're going to have the same problems that you would have if you went to shul. Ella tidbak be musar tamid. You should always learn musar. Valtakani b'olam hazeh. Don't be jealous of anything that happens in this world. Hakol hevel ma'isa hatatu ma'isa tatuim. It's all trickery. She bin laila haya. Like Yonah says, everything is in Sefer Yonah. Everything is fleeting. Everybody that has something, the thing gets lost. The thing gets broken. The thing gets ruined. You have a good thing, it becomes a bad thing for you. Olam hazeh, if you see enough of it, you get older, you see enough of all these great things. All you have to do is you follow any of the people that you when you were a little kid, you know were in the news, sports athletes and music stars and everybody. You just need a few years later to see how miserable these people's lives are. Al pi rov. And you see any enjoyment that's gashmi is really, really not made to last. The Ribbono Shel Olam created it that way. It's not made to last, and sometimes it turns into a source of pain. And don't be jealous of anybody that has anything that's olam hazedek. There's nothing too exciting. Kim yala l'shem Mashiach, okay, ki lo yitin chosen v'mniskar. And even while they're enjoying it, it's not even anything. Anybody who has seichel knows that these things are anything that you have, yeah, it's nothing. Gashmis is nothing. The girl lived that way. We have to strive for that. But that's how the girl lived. Oy vavoy lemi sheshogepo. And woe is to the person who works, focuses on it. You're mamish wasting your time. V'tikani, new paragraph. V'tikani b'yiras Hashem. You should be jealous when you see somebody's yiras Shemayim. You see somebody daven a Shemon Esrei, you say, oh, I wish I could daven a Shemon Esrei like that. You see somebody who has an accomplishment in learning, in chesed, in ma'isim tovim. You're jealous of a person because he's rich? Nope. You're jealous because a person because he gives a lot of tzedakah? Yeah, that's something to be jealous of. I know somebody who very, very wealthy. So wealthy, he was able to, he's a Yorei Shemayim and a Tzaddik, so he was able to carve out of his day. Usually the way of the world is the wealthier people work harder to become even wealthier. He became very wealthy, and because of that, he was able to carve out a whole section of his day that he can have a Seder. And he learns for a few hours in the afternoon, he's not available, whatever it is, and he has other people doing his work, and because that's what he wants. So the person very close to this person. The person made a siyum on Shas from this Seder. He was learning. It's years. And I came over and I said to him, I want you to know, now I'm jealous of you. You made a siyum on Shas. You know? And he agreed. Anything we have in this world is bin layla haya, bin layla avad. It's over. It's gone. By the time you have it, it's already nothing. That's what the Gemara is telling us. But when it comes to Yiras Shamayim, we have to be jealous. And kinas so from Tabor Chachma, Chazal say, the jealousy will lead to becoming greater as people. We're allowed to be jealous of other people's ruchnis. They quote here in the notes that the Gemara Baba Basra says that Rav Huna says that if somebody grinds with a millstone for his business, and somebody moves nearby and wants to grind the millstone, api halacha, he's allowed to stop him. Hasagas gavul, right? This is my location. Everybody buys from me. If you come, you're going to take away my business. We're allowed to do that. But the halacha is, if there's a Rebbe in town, and then another Rebbe comes in to teach Torah, the halacha is that the second Rebbe is allowed to come and teach, even if he's going to steal talmidim. It's interesting, and so we see from here that because you're allowed to be jealous of somebody else, you're allowed to want what somebody else has. So in Ruchnis, you're allowed to. So if I can't take your customers, but I could take your talmidim, again, if they want to come. So the Chazon Ish actually uses this Gemara, very interesting, very important yisod. Chazon Ish has a sefer called Emuna Bitachon, which is printed, I think, at the end of Seder Taros of the Chazon Ish. It was reprinted and it was even translated. The Chazon Ish writes that we see from here also a very important yisod. He said there was a maisa where there were rebbeim in town, older rebbeim, and these younger rebbeim moved into town. And the older rebbeim got, all the townspeople, a lot of the townspeople on their side, influential balabatim. They were very upset at these people. They wanted to drive them out of town. And they said that they wrote to him, they're trying to steal our parnasa because we're rebbeim and we teach Torah and then we get paid for it. And these new guys are coming in, these younger rebbeim, and they're coming in. He said, and the Chazon Ish said, they got it 100% wrong. Because they weren't stealing. It's adaraba. By the older people trying to chase the younger people out of town, they were the ones who were being rodev. They weren't the nirdav. They weren't the ones being threatened. They were the ones threatening. And he said, you see from here, that when it comes to morals and ethics, it's the Torah that determines. When it comes to rebbeim, if there's a new rebbe and he's a better rebbe, we go with him. When it comes to a pizza shop, If I open a pizza shop next door to the other guy's pizza shop, even if my pizza has a better recipe, doesn't matter. I don't have a right to open up the pizza shop in that community. Again, unless it's a very large community and the Rabbanim decided, the Beis Din decided that I won't be stealing customers, whatever it is. But if I'm going to take in pizza in my shoe store, I'm not allowed to do that. But if I'm going to take Talmidim, I'm allowed to do that. So the ethics of it is they thought that these young Rebbeim were being unethical. So says the Chaznish, it's the opposite. If the Halacha says that they're allowed to do it, Adrabah, by you trying to kick them out, you're the ones who are being unethical. Because ethics is not determined. And this is the Yesod that the Chaznish is saying. We think we have a barometer, like society has a barometer of what's yashar and what's good and what's right and what's moral and what's ethical. And by the way, that barometer is completely skewed now, because if you listen to the news, everybody's allowed to do whatever they want, and it's unethical and immoral to tell people not to do what they want to do. But in Torah, it's different. In Torah, the halacha determines the morals and the ethics of our society. What's considered ethical? What the halacha says. You know, we always have a problem. The Beis Din, the halacha says we're supposed to put this person to death. We're supposed to destroy this nation. Off the bat, what's our first problem? That's unethical. Now, it's not possible to explain why it is ethical, but the Chaznish is saying that's ethical. The Torah is saying that's ethical. If you let a murderer go get out free, that's immoral. Why? Because he's a danger to society. It's immoral to allow him to continue to exist within the society. And sometimes we have a hard time understanding why that is. But Chaznish is saying the Torah determines what our ethics and what our morals and what our values should be. The Gra continues. Lost the place. Okay, I'll start the paragraph again. V'tekane b'yiras Hashem. We should be jealous of Yorei Shamayim. Yiras Hashem. V'lo tomar b'ma eskel olam haba, eni yichol olasos. You shouldn't say, how am I going to be zochot olam haba? I can't do it. Echad amar b'vechad amamit. U'bavad. Okay, sheichavin libo l'shamayim. You have to do your best. You have to do your best. M'chavin libo shem shamayim, that you do your best. And then whatever happens, happens. U'lman Hashem shetifor shesachomesh. And for the sake of Hashem, you should be... Mafresh a chomesh. A chomesh is a fifth. It's 20%. The Gra seems to recommend giving 20%. The halacha is that, let's start from the halacha. The minhag ha'olam. The minhag ha'olam, there's a three-way machlokes, whether giving miser on your earnings is a din d'oraisa, a din d'rabbanan, or a minhag. We paskin that it's a minhag. And therefore, a person has the choice of whether or not to do it. And that's why, depending on a person's situation, some will recommend that you don't have to give it if a person is strapped for money or whatever it is. So, may ikur hadin, a person is not obligated, bizman hazeh, when it comes to meiser ksafim, meiser on money, meiser behema is minator, and there are other meiser ani, things like that. But meiser ksafim, you make $100, there's a minhag to give 10%, it's a good thing to do. From my rebbeim, I heard very strongly that we should be giving the meiser. Chazal have many statements about if you want to keep your money, you have to give your meiser. Many stories about this. There are books written about this. The article has the Tzedakah Treasury. Stories about the milus of giving the Tzedakah. And to try very hard to give the Tzedakah and to realize that Chas v'Shalom, we should never feel like we're losing in Avodas Hashem. If anything, it's the opposite. Because if we have $100 and I give 10 to tzedakah, and then I go spend $90 on a new dress or on a dinner at a fancy restaurant, guess what? All I have is the $10 that I gave to tzedakah. That's all that I'm going to keep with me. It's like the mashal, the Ben Ish Chai gave a mashal. He gave a mashal of a wise man walking with his son, and they went hunting. And they saw birds, and they shot the birds, and there were 10 birds, and they hit 4, and 6 flew away. So they went to the nest, or whatever it was, and they saw that there were 4 birds that they had shot. They'd hunted, whatever it was, that they were going to use the birds for whatever. How many birds are left? And the son said, there are 6 birds left, right? Because we killed 4, and there's 6 left. And the father said, no. There's only 4. Because the 6 that flew away, they're not left. They're gone. We don't have them anymore. And the Ben Ish Chai said that that's a mashal for life. Sometimes we think, like, I just killed my time, I wasted my time doing this mitzvah or whatever it was, I could have been accomplishing something. But it's the opposite. It's the times that we thought are dead. Those are the ones that we really have. You know, the efforts that you put in, it's dead money, I don't have access to it because I had to give it to tzedakah. No, that's not how it works. That's not how it is. It's just the opposite. You have the 10% that you gave, you know you could keep forever. The schar that you get for that mitzvah, you keep forever. The $90 that you spent, whatever you spent it on, it's gone. But just as a practical etzah, again, every situation is different, but very roy to try to give the tzedakah. It's a big schus, and it's not even a skula. It's not like a bendel, like a red bendela. It's like Chazal. Chazal very clearly in the Gemara and in other places that giving tzedakah is a very chashuv thing, helping out poor people, chesed organizations that help the poor people. As an Eitzah, practical Eitzah, sometimes it's hard. How do you know how to do it? So one of the Eitzahs is, I know they have bank accounts. They can sometimes have like a different account within your main bank account. So when you get your paycheck, you immediately take 10% of that check and you put it in. Again, there's a lot of halachos of tzedakah. What you need, what you're supposed to give miser from, what you don't need to give miser from, when do you take the 10%? Before tax, after tax? There's a lot of halachas, but to be mafresh meiser as a concept is a very important meiser. And the Grah here is saying that you should really give a chomesh, which is 20%. That's the opinion of the Grah. I don't think that's the widespread minhag olam. I think Chazal say we're not supposed to give more than 20%. The Gemara says in Ksubis, but the Grah held that we should try to give 10-20%. He says, if you don't give that tzedakah, you're over on averos. There's different averos that Chafetz Chaim speaks about these in Avos Chesed when he talks about tzedakah and different things. And it's kilu kafar b'torah kedosha. In a way, you know, if Hashem gives you $100 and tells you give 10 tzedakah, and you say, I can't give 10 tzedakah, I need those $10. So you're saying as if Hashem didn't give you what you needed. So it's you have to be careful. But if you want to know, at the end of the day, and he comes back to this, he was here before, he comes back to speech. The ikar zechus for Olam Haba is Shmiras Piv. Okay. Now, he goes back to Musar. Ubisfarim Shali. Yesh Mishle im Lashon Ashkenaz. I have a translation in Lashon Ashkenaz. Ashkenaz we usually translate as German. I think in the Art Scroll, in the Art Scroll book on page 149, they translate Ashkenaz as Yiddish. Okay, I never heard that, but could be Ashkenaz is just the spoken language, and that was probably the language that was spoken. So maybe that's why they say Yiddish. Okay, Laman Hashem Shikur B'chol Yom. Mishle is the best Musar Sefer. Mishle with a Pasha Taich, the Grah says, is the best Musar Sefer. Lamaisa, the Grah has a Perish on Sefer Mishle, the Grah on Mishle, and that's probably also a good Musar Sefer, maybe one day. Vagamba Sefer Koheles, Yikru Tamid Lufanecha, Kisham Mavil and Yoni Olamazeh. Shlomo HaMelech in Koheles says, Hevel Avolam HaKol Havel, he puts down in Yoni Olamazeh. Ushar Sfarim, and there's others for him as well. Lamaisa, when it comes to Sfarim, when it comes to Sifrei Musar, the Mishnah Berurah says that Mishnah Berurah in Siman Aleph says that there's a chiyuv b'chol yom to learn Musar. This wasn't, I don't know. This is Alpi Halacha. The Chafetz Chaim felt that it was every day. As far as the Sfarim goes, there's two sugim of Sfarim. There's the Sfarim that are what we would call the Iker Sifrei Musar, like the Mesil Sisharim, and the Chovas Alevavos, and the Shari Tshuva, and the Orchos Tzadikim. Those are the four main Musar Sfarim. But then you have Sifrei Tanakh that are Musar Sfarim. I'm not talking about the Musar that you could learn from, Shaul HaMelech, or Shlomo HaMelech, or whatever, Navi, but there's also a Sefer Koheles and Mishle, like the Grah is telling us. And then there's Sfarim that are Heintikas Farim, that nowadays Farim, that sometimes speak to us in our generation. And those two have a big toalas. By Rebbeim, we're machmed that at least for a few minutes a day, that you should always learn the Iker Sfarim, and if a person needs more, they can, you know, they publish Shmuzin of great tzaddikim and mashgichim. They have English stuff that's inspirational, that will inspire us to become better people. But we should always be giving thought to what we're doing, and that's what we're trying to do here. Always try to improve. Avachas v'shalom lo tiyah ha'tachlis ha'kriya levad. The purpose is not just to read the words. Ki bazeh ein misbal ha'adam. A person is not misbal, he's not inspired, he's not changed from this. Gam kama b'nei adam korin b'sifrei mosar v'einu misbalim v'hu b'shvil hanal. It's because they read it, or they're learning it. They're not seeing. You read it, you translate it. Now, what does it have to do with me? If I can answer what it has to do with me, then it's going to change me. If it's speaking to me, then it'll change me. If it's not going to speak to me, it's just a book with information, I might memorize the information, but if it has nothing to do with me, it's not going to have an impact on me. So whenever we learn Musar, you learn a paragraph, you learn a perek of something. What does it have to do with me in my life right now? And that's, I think, the nekuda that the Gra is telling us. That's what you have to do when you learn a Musar Sefer. Va'od. B'shvil yitziyasim b'lo havana. The yotze, the chiyuv without havana. All these examples of things that you do, you don't finish the job, it's like you never did it. If you plow the field and then you put the seeds in but you didn't plow, so the seeds sit on top of the soil, nothing goes into the ground, so it doesn't help. You plant, but you didn't put up a fence. If you didn't put up a fence, so the pigs are going to come in and they're going to eat all the produce that you grew. So it doesn't help that you grew stuff. So you have to take it to heart. If you put seeds on top of a rock and you water the rock, right, nothing's going to grow. You need the dirt. So if you have a heart of stone, and that's why I told you to hit the children. Now, we've spoken about Bezman Hazeh, we don't hit the children. But the Gra is saying, you hit the kid because that will open him up. That will get him moving, thinking, responding. Bezman Hazeh, our children don't respond the same way. So it's not the way to do it. I always like, you know, you could yell at somebody, you could force them into doing something, then you have them for this moment, but you've lost them for the future. If you speak to them, if you talk to them about it, if you try to explain to them why either what they did was wrong or why they should be doing more of X, Y, or Z, you might even lose them for this moment, but you'll have them for the future. V'gamis chasni, my son-in-law, now he's talking to his, he's addressing his son-in-law. V'gamis chasni ani mazir b'chalzeh sheyikro lefneichem, lefneim kanal. He should read this to the children, sheyilimudo l'shem shamayim, he shall learn l'shem shamayim, l'man Hashem yichanich atzma b'zeh. V'al yashkiach l'ha'omrim kianare in tzarech l'zeh. Don't listen if they tell you that the children don't need to improve themselves, don't need to hear Sifrei Musar. Chas v'shalom adra b'chanoch l'nar. You have to be mechanich l'narim. Even the children, you have to be mechanich. Yeah, it has to be al bidarko. You can't tell them, maybe some svarim are not appropriate for a little child. But to tell them gedolim stories, to tell them, talk to them in general about improvement, they also need the chinuch. It doesn't say wait until they're 17 years old and they can start to understand things and then start explaining it. No, you have to be mechanich straight through. Maybe in their own words, maybe in their own, but you have to do it. Klipos ego is yiroka nochal hasir, right? When the egos, this is a metaphor of the klipos egos. It's easier to pull the peel off when the nut is unripe, when it's hard, before it hardens into a shell. Once it hardens into a shell, it's harder to get off. So when it's soft, the outside is soft, it's easier to peel off. And that's the mushel of a child.
Learn
Perkei Avos, Ubeprat Perkei Avos to Rabbi Nosson, Avos to Rabbi Nosson, which is a parallel, Braisa, or Tosefta, I'm not sure which one, the Avos to Rabbi Nosson, Umasachas Derech Eretz, also about the same ideas, some overlap between that and Perkei Avos, Derech Eretz Kadmo LaTorah, Umasachas Derech Eretz Kadmo LaTorah, V'techbar L'chamoyscha, and he's talking to his son-in-law, be mechabed your mother-in-law, that's my wife, ulachamoscha zakenet chabed ma'od, and my mother-in-law, your wife's grandmother, you should be mechabed ma'od ma'od, v'gamim kol adam tisnag b'derech eretz u'v'nachas u'v'chavod. And really with everybody, you have to act with derech eretz, b'nachas u'v'chavod. Ahuvasi imi, now he's speaking to his mother. My mother, yadati she'en chatzvicha lemosr shali, you don't need my mosr, mommy. Ki yadati ki tznua at, your tznua. You should still read it. Because it's true, it's Torah, you should read it. You should read the letter. But you should know that you don't need Musar. Kitznuat, he says, was the reason. So we mentioned that the big Nisayon, women, there's a chus, is the tznius. The tznius is such a chush of a thing by the women. And the Gemara says that if you have a fight with your Yetzirah, you're supposed to learn Torah. So the Mefarshim asks, so then if a woman's not chayiv in Talmud Torah, she can learn Torah, but what she, that's not her chiyuv. So Chazal say her tznius helps her fend off the Yetzirah. So he's saying, mommy, I know that you're such a tznua, that you've already, you know, vanquished the Yetzer Hara, your tznius. Please don't be upset at me that I left. You promised me. If I'm zochet to go to Yerushalayim, your hakodesh, it's al sharei hashamayim, mamish the gates of heaven. Avakesh ba'atcha, I'm going to daven for you, mommy. Kasher v'tachti, I promised, I'm going to daven for you. V'mniske nira yachtav kulanu im yirtza balarachim. And maybe if we're lucky, the Baal Rachman will even have you guys come to Eretz Yisrael. He says to his wife, you should honor my mother. He held that it was a Torah obligation to honor your in-laws. It's a chiyuv to honor your father-in-law. But he learns that from Yisro. There's a machlokas achronim about it. The level of the chiyuv to honor in-laws, is it like parents or not? The Gra seems to hold that there's a chiyuv, just like it says, kabbalis avicha v'simecha, Ishto kagufo, your in-laws, you have to be mechabed on the same level. Ubeprat la almana, shavon plili ma'od, and befrat, that my mother is an almana, my father passed away. So it's a avon plili ma'od, it's a horrific, horrendous aveira, letzara, filo betenua kala, even a little tenua, a little movement, a little anything that causes her tzar, it's a big, big problem. She's an almana. V'gam le'imi ba'kashasli she'yesholom ben shneichem. Please, there should be peace between you and my wife. V'isha es reyusa tisamach, and you should make each other happy. B'dvarim tovim, ki za mitzvah gedol l'chol adam. V'sholom adam shas adin. And that when you get up to din, one of the Dibrei Chazal is that himlachtas chavera, it's meseches chibut kever, himlachtas chavera, were you mamlech your friend? What does it mean to be mamlech your friend, benachas ruach? What does it mean to be mamlech your friend? You make your friend the king, meaning you make other people feel chashuv. And the truth is that this gets at the shorish of everything we do. You have to work on yourself, but when you see a person in the morning, give them a smile. It makes them feel like, oh, I'm a person. Somebody noticed me. Somebody smiled because they saw me. Somebody said hello to me. When you walk by, you look down, you don't say hello to people, they're not chashuv enough for you to stop your life to talk to them. It's a very important thing to make people need to feel, I mean, we live in a generation which it's getting worse and worse. People need to feel like they're needed. They need to feel like somebody relies on them, somebody needs them. And if you could give them that, if you could give them that feeling with a hello, with doing something to be machshiv them, that's like the most chash of a thing. They say that Rav Shach, when somebody would come to talk to him, he was sitting in his bayish tender, and somebody would come talk to him, he would stand up to see eye to eye with the person. You're also chash of. He would be mamlech, his friend. And when you make somebody feel chash of, that's, you're giving them life, you're giving them purpose. Oh, this person? Wow. So last week in Camp Kaylee, we had Gadol Day, and we had Rav David Cohen, who's a Rav in Brooklyn, a big major post like in America. We had Rav Mordechai Willig, Rav Moshe Weinberger came, and Rav Reuven Feinstein came. So four big tzaddikim, and they came to camp. And one of the Rebbeim in camp, who is Rabbi Ari Leibowitz, who's the head of the Masmidim, so he told me that he said hello, he said Shalom Aleichem to Rav David Cohen, and Rav David Cohen says, yes, I remember you. And he said, you remember me? He said, you once spoke at a conference. I was at a conference. So there was this, Nefesh is a conference, I think mental health or something. He said, Rabbi Leibowitz told me 15 years ago, something like that, 15 years ago, there was a conference, I guess it was, whatever it was, they asked him to speak. So he spoke, and Rabbi David Cohn is the posek for a lot of the organizations. He's the posek for Ohel. He's the posek for a lot of organizations that have big decisions to make. And he spoke at a Nefesh conference probably 15 years ago. And Rabbi David Cohn remembered him. He said he was blown away by it. But I have to tell you, speaking to Rabbi Leibowitz has thousands of people listening to his voice every single day. Rabbi David Cohn remembered me. I spoke, and he remembers who I am. That's unbelievable. It's not just unbelievable how unbelievable Rabbi David Cohn is, but it's also Rabbi Leibowitz felt like, wow, he remembers me. I matter. Now, Rabbi Leibowitz has thousands of people listening to his voice every day, his shiurim, and close to 10,000 shiurim. But Rabbi David Cohn remembered his shiur from 15 years ago, remembered that he spoke, and he was mamlech his chaver, he gave chiyus to somebody. It made Rabbi Leibowitz feel so good. Very chash of a thing. Very chash of a thing to that. I try to remember people's names. I try to give people smiles. I try to remember what people are up to. Sometimes I ask them again and again. They're like, you just asked me that. That's because, you know, I'm not as young as I used to be. But it's a very important thing to try to remember people. It makes them feel good. If you see somebody a few years down there, hey, how you doing? You never know what a person's going through. You never know what a person's up to. And we have an obligation to be mamlech, our friend. And when we get to Shemayim, they're going to ask us this question. Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes in the Hakdamah to Nefesh HaChayim, his sons wrote the Hakdamah, and they said, our father, that's Rav Chaim Volozhiner, always used to say that a person is not in this world for himself. He's in this world for other people. When you mamlech other people, you mamish give life to them. And that's something we have to remember. So the Gra is saying that this is a very important thing. There should be peace between you. You should make each other happy. And you should know that they're going to ask you, were you mamlech your friend, benachas ruach? Hurry back in the Igeres HaGra. Hamlach tes chavercha benachas ruach. Harei tzarech sheyamlecheu benachas ubezer rov hatorah l'smeichad. That's rov hatorah, to bring joy to other people. When you make them happy, you give them chiyus, you give them life, you give them purpose and going on. People have tzaras. People have difficult situations, and they feel, because of their difficult situation, they feel alone. They feel like they were rejected by society in some ways. And when you make them feel good, you're bringing them back in. You're saying you're important. You matter. It makes a difference that you exist. And some people, life circumstances make them feel chas v'shalom not that way. So it's a very chashuv thing, very important thing. We should actively work on it. V'afim tasa achas mikem shelo kahogen. And even if one of you does something to the other one that wasn't right, timchal l'zal, you should be mochel each other. V'tiyu l'man Hashem b'shalom. And for the sake of Hashem, you should be b'shalom. V'chein l'imi b'kashos yishtadrach as b'ni b'nosai. B'nai b'nosai b'dvarim rakim sheikavlam. Speak to the children softly so they should be makabel what you say. Tashgiach aleihem, and watch over them. V'levnayu v'osai, and to my children, ani mitzave sheichabdu osa, v'gam that they should make sure that they honor you. V'gam b'nehem lo yishma riv v'kas klal, and among them we shouldn't hear any arguments or any anger at all. Ela hakol b'shalom, Bal Hashalom yitein lachem, and the Bal Hashalom, the Master of Peace, that's the Ribono Shalom, yitein lachem v'levnay v'levnosai v'chasnay v'achai v'chol beis Yisrael. Chaim v'shalom. He should give to my sons and my daughters, my sons-in-law. I guess he didn't have any married sons at the time. Didn't have any daughters. Okay. V'achai and my brothers, v'chol Yisrael and all of Kal Yisrael, chaim v'shalom. Minoi, from me, ahuvchem, the one who loves you, Eliyahu ben Marino, Rav Shlomo Zalman, zech tzadik levarach l'chay olam haba. Ad kan, the precious words of the Igeres HaGra. Again, the Gra said, every week you should read it over, like the Ramban says about his Igeres, but every day we should be learning, we should be trying, we should be working on ourselves, and this way, Bezer Hashem, we could perfect ourselves, and we could at least better ourselves, and fulfill our tachlis. And all the points that the Gra makes is, this is how he's telling his wife, this is how you should live your life. We should be zocha to the extent that we can, to be mekayim some of the words of the Vilna Gaon. Shkoyach, and Bezer Hashem, Bli Neder, we'll pick up with Derech Hashem, the Ramchal's Derech Hashem, at the end of the summer.